The year was 1985. There were no cell phones. There was no GPS. And there were no YouTube videos to teach you how to fix things that you had broken. I was living in Berkeley at the time, and my boyfriend decided it would be a great idea for us to go camping in Baja California for a month. And we would drive from Berkeley all the way to the end and back because we didn't have a vehicle. So he said, I'll buy a truck and we can camp in this truck. And I said, you don't have any money. And he said, well, I'll get some money from my parents. So he got a little bit of money from his parents. And he bought this old beat up Chevy light utility vehicle truck that had seen better days. And it had an illegal exhaust system on it. So he said, I will replace the exhaust system. And honestly, I had never even seen this guy pick up a screwdriver before. So I'm thinking, well, we probably aren't going to go on this trip, but whatever. So he got the manual. He called around. He asked thousands of people what he should do, and he got the old exhaust system off. He got the new one back on. It ran, and it passed inspection in the state of California, which was a miracle in and of itself. So we were going to go on this trip. So we needed maps. So we went to AAA, because that's where you go for maps, right? Before GPS. And when we went to AAA, they advised us that we needed to buy their special insurance because car insurance from the U.S. isn't valid in Mexico. So we bought the insurance. And they gave us this book. And this book was actually really great. It had, like, directions and maps and distances and all this cool stuff. And it had some advice for RVing in Baja California, which at the time, you know, there were not that many people doing it. So we didn't know anyone else who'd ever done it. So it was good to have the advice. We did have the truck had a cap on the back, and we were going to sleep back there. We did sleep back there. And the advice was things like you'd expect, like don't drink the water, which I probably forgot when I was faced with a margarita. I can't remember all the things. There were lots of things. Don't drive at night because it's open range and there's cattle wandering around, and if you can't see them, and you won't be able to see them because it's pitch black at night there. So we didn't drive at night. Take a lot of spare gasoline with you because the gas stations are few and far between and they don't even all sell unleaded gas, so we did that. Take extra spare tires because you're going to get at least one flat and there's no service stations. So we did all that. They also advised if you get into a car accident and nobody's hurt to drive away because the Mexican police will just arrest you and figure the details out later and sometimes much later. So we were kind of forewarned that this trip might not be exactly what, you know, we were used to camping in California. But we took up on our trip, and I will just say, we didn't get into a car accident, and we didn't hit a cow. So, you know, I just don't worry. Like, I don't want that to seem like foreshadowing. We camped on beaches that were usually free. We hardly saw anybody else except a few locals. Sometimes a guy would come from a nearby town, and they'd see us camping there, and they would say, oh, I'm the mayor, and it costs $1, so we'd give them $1. But, you know, even though we did have a wonderful trip, we did have a few challenges. The first challenge was one day we're driving along in our love truck, and we got waved over, you know, pulled over to the side of the road by the Mexican military. I forgot to mention at the beginning of the story that Ronald Reagan was president, and there was a war on drugs. So the Mexican military waves us over, we get out. We don't really speak Spanish at that point, and so we just stood there while they searched our truck, and they had, like, big guns, so we did whatever they said. And they were, you know, so they weren't really into it, though. They were just kind of half-heartedly doing the job, and I'm thinking, yeah, there's a war on drugs, but, like, they got paid by the U.S. government to do this, and they don't really care. So they're, like, looking around, and everything's going fine until one of them reaches back behind the seat where we had all the tools for fixing the truck in case it broke down, and pulls out a box that had a timing light in it. And I know a lot of you are old enough to remember what a timing light looks like. It looks like it could be some kind of weird weapon. So they're just like looking at it and looking at us, and we can't explain what it is. So we start miming, like pretending to lift up the hood and showing them other tools, and they finally got it, and they laughed, and they sent us on our way. So, And then another weird thing that happened was we were climbing on these rocks that were near a beach one day. And, you know, I mean, we went on this wild trip. We weren't really people who worried a lot, right? But we're up on top of the rocks, and my boyfriend starts to look really worried. And he looks at me and he said, if there was an earthquake right now, we would fall and we would be killed. And I said, okay, I really wanted to laugh at him. Let's just climb down and go back to the beach, which we did. And I'm thinking to myself, like, oh my God, what have I gotten myself into traveling with this guy? 8 hours later, there was an earthquake. We woke up in the middle of the night and the truck was rocking side to side and nothing bad happened and we went on our way, but we did not climb on any more rocks. We found a great little, it wasn't even really a town, just a few houses where the people that lived there on a beach had made a makeshift restaurant. So they had some tables with a covering and a cooler with some beer, and the men would go fishing during the day, and whatever they would bring back, they would cook and serve it for dinner, and it was so good. And the ambiance was just like, the families were so friendly, and it was beautiful, and the weather was perfect. The bay was right there. We stayed several days, and for some reason, the beer they served tasted so good right there that we couldn't imagine never having this beer again. And it's not a rare beer now. It's Pacifico, which isn't even really that great. But, you know, it just seems so important for us to have this beer, and we'd never seen it in the U.S., so we really wanted to take some back with us. So we bought a bunch of beer from these folks. So the rest of our trip went fine. We got to, you know, we're ready to come back to the U.S. And although I loved being there and camping, I was definitely ready for a hot shower and a comfortable bed. So we're in line at immigration, and I'm thinking, wow, like nothing really bad happened on this trip. We get to the little booth, and the guy says, you know, ID. And of course, then it was your driver's license. So I showed him our little driver's licenses. He's like, oh, Berkeley, huh? And then he says, do you have any meat? And he said, no, we don't have any meat. Do you have any produce? No, we don't have any produce. Do you have any alcohol? I said, yeah, we have some beer. He goes, customs. So he sent us over to customs, where we figured they'd look at the beer and send us on our way, right? So they asked us to get out of the truck. We had two agents. They made us stand to the side of the truck while they took everything out, every single last thing we owned. They looked at my pill bottles and said, what is this prescription for? And they took all my underwear out of my bag. And my mom's here. We're Irish. I got mad. I just was angry. I was irritated. But I was trying not to show it, so I'm standing there like this. And then I look over, and my boyfriend is pacing. He's scared. And he's not scared of an earthquake. And I don't know what he's scared of, but I was pretty surprised because we didn't have anything. So at least two or three hours later, I mean, they were so meticulous. They finally said, okay, you can go put your stuff back in. So one of the agents left, and the other guy came up to me, and he goes, do you know why we searched you? And I said, because we're from Berkeley. You just figured we have drugs. We look terrible. We've been camping for a month. We haven't had showers or, you know. And I said, I guess that's why. And then he made me really, really mad. He said, well, and you have this truck. And I just felt really indignant right then. And I said, and then he said, my partner wanted to take it apart, piece by piece. He's so sure you have drugs. And I said, we're smarter than that. And he said, but you weren't smart enough to know how much beer you could bring back into the U.S. So it turns out we had one extra bottle of beer. So I had to open it up in front of him and pour out my precious Pacifico beer in the sink, throw the bottle in the trash, of course they didn't recycle, and collect my little worry wart and put him in the front seat, and I drove us into the U.S. So we get to the hotel, it's hot, showers, heaven, the bed's comfortable. You know, we had fast food, it wasn't that great. But, you know, we hadn't had television or radio, seriously, for like a month. So, you know, the TV's on. And I looked over and I said, why were you so nervous? And he said, well, I bought that truck from an 18-year-old kid. And when I got it home and I started to clean it up, I pulled out the ashtray and there was part of a joint in there. So I disposed of it and I said, yeah, I bet you did. And he said, the whole time they were searching, I was just scared to death that there was some other weed he had stuck in between something and forgotten about. And I just sat there for a minute and I said, I'm so glad I didn't know that. Thank you.